KFNC.
You have my curiosity.
Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Now you have my attention.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday. In case you didn't know, Barry out as he is on the world tour of comedy. He won't be back till Tuesday. Nick and I are here, and it is my pleasure as I hear the chips opening, which means the show is ready to go. Mario Ellie, the kiss of death in studio. My family, my man. We are going to sit here and kick it around, talk hoops and other things for the next 3 hours. Pleasure to have you on board, my man.
Appreciate it.
People know that.
Lots to talk about.
People know that you and I and Nick do the two-man game, which is actually the three-man weave, on SB Nation Radio, an hour show every week. But the opportunity arose with Barry being out of town. I said, man, it'd be great to do 3 hours with you, just kicking sports and other things.
A lot of good things going on, a lot of hoops, a lot of interesting scenarios, and it should be some more good basketball tonight. It's been some great playoff.
What do we have today? Smashburger today? Smashburger again,
what,
Mario?
What are we eating today?
I had to go buy the Jersey Sub, get the number six, the roast beef with provolone. Outstanding.
That sounds fantastic.
Is that your promo? They should be paying you.
I know, right?
At Mario Ellie 1 if they want to start sending free subs Mario's way. So here we go. I'm telling you right now, I'm bleeding profusely. I was driving and had a piece that looked like dead skin on the side of my nose. Went to scratch it off, and literally, I think I scratched off half my nose, evidently, because I have not stopped for basically about 35, 45 minutes. So good to see me looking like I just got out of a prize fight as we continue to roll on. No idea what happened, but, you know.
Hey, things like that happen, you know. What you gonna do about it? You're tough, right? Yeah, Hooper.
Yeah,
you can do. You can take it. Show must go on, right?
Is that how we're going to do things today?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right. So without the nosebleed issue, we're going to continue to roll on. Lots happened in the NBA last night, so I guess we'll be a little bit basketball centric today. And also, Way Back Wednesday. It is in case you missed it, Mario. We left you out of this because we knew that you probably had no interest in it. But we do Way Back Wednesdays with songs pre 2000 with a theme every week, and this week it was the year 1986, and the songs must be from some soundtrack. Nick, I'm assuming you're doing your list as we speak.
I will, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going in the last hour.
Let Barry go first.
Okay.
So we can bash the hell out of it. I saw that you guys had a little back and forth last night in which you said that you and I would be bashing the hell out of it. I saw his list. It's very sappy, but he also took the most noticeable and known songs from the most popular movies of the year 1986. So when he bags everybody else all the time for Top Gun, and then he put Take My Breath Away on there, let him have it, please. Please, just blast away.
Did anybody take Ferris Bueller?
He took that as well.
Dang.
He took two songs from there. Yep. But so I went more with the better songs from bad movies category. So the songs I got are good songs. You just didn't know that they were in movies because you probably didn't see it. So that's what I did.
Yeah, there's probably quite a few. There's a lot of movies on that list that I did see, but there's a lot that I didn't for sure. I was only three at the time, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably weren't heading to the theaters with a large popcorn at three.
Nope.
But, you know, Rio, you're a movie aficionado.
Not lately.
Not really?
I haven't been to a movie
well,
so
I
long.
I can appreciate that. With kids, it's a lot different.
Yeah, I ain't got no time for no movies.
Yeah, no, you got AAU and volleyball and basketball and all that other stuff.
I was on the road. Mario Ellie Lee going up to Dallas this weekend.
You leave tonight, right? Or tomorrow, tomorrow.
Volleyball and AAU volleyball and basketball this weekend. It's a big AAU amateur showcase up there in Dallas and Fort Worth. Nike, everybody's going to be up there. It's going to be some good fun.
You're Adidas guy, though.
Yes, they all going to be up there, so it's going to be fun.
Well, get me my Nike stuff because you don't wear it.
Oh, really? Talk to your man Tone, man. Shout out to my man Tone Silver,
Tone, baby. On a game day. Shout out to Tony Nyla, the equipment manager for the Rockets, our guy.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got plenty to get to there as well. Calls are already lined up. We obviously are going to be hoop-centric. So if you want to talk about the Rockets, we want to preview tonight's game two down at Toyota Center. Mario's going to be there front and center courtside, so we'll be talking about Rockets. We'll be talking about games on the docket tonight and games that were last night. Holy upset city. If you thought there was trouble in Rip City and Rose City with Portland after game one, now what do you do if you're the Blazers after game two? You've not only given away the home court, but you might have given away the whole series.
Well, it's a lot of time, you know. A lot of teams been in that situation. It rarely happens. But I think the Blazers are a tough group. You just got to take it one game at a time. Pels did an outstanding job going up there and getting two. Now the pressure. There's a lot of pressure on the Blazers to go down there and perform. And
you mentioned teams have done this before and climbed back. You have any experience with that?
I think I do. And I think they're a tough-minded group. That backcourt hasn't been good all year, you know, for a reason. So they need to step up. Boy, Jrue Holiday, man, that guy's been outstanding.
Tell me about it. Jrue Holiday and the resurrection of Rajon Rondo, they're calling playoff Rondo. Whatever the reason is,
man.
Holy cow, Portland is in a world of hurt because that backcourt from New Orleans is outplaying them. The Brow is going absolutely crazy. And overall, the Pelicans in the driver's seat. But I don't know, Mario, if it's good or bad if you're a Rockets fan, because if the Pels do work on the Blazers and then the Pels play the Warriors in round two, I almost feel like it's an easier series for the Warriors in round two, and then thus a cakewalk into the Western Conference Finals, whereas the Rockets, even if they make quick work of the Timberwolves, we'll see what happens tonight, then they've got the winner of OKC Utah. If it's OKC as it looks to be, they're playing their rear ends off. It could be a tough road for the Rockets and a very physical road before they even see the Warriors.
Well, the Rockets are the best team in the league. It shouldn't matter when you're the best team in the league. You got to home court throughout the playoffs, so no matter who you play, granted, it's a harder road. That's the hand you're dealt. But Rockets are a good team. They want to establish themselves as, you know, one of the best teams in the league. You just got to go out there and perform, you know. And it's going to be interesting what happens tonight, how they respond to an average, to me, an average performance. I mean, James was the only guy to me and Capella.
In the first half, for half the game.
So it's interesting to see how they respond. But, you know, if you're a good ball club, you're number one seed, you take care of your business regardless. You have high expectations. You know, I know the Warriors, you know, taking care of their business, their role is a little easier. You can't worry about what they're doing. You got to worry about what you're doing, especially what's going on in the NBA. A lot of upsets, a lot of one-on-one teams are winning on the road. You know, anything can happen.
So a lot to get to today. We'll get to a lot of hoops, as we said. Mario's a New York guy, so we can talk about the plummeting Yankees and the crap that's going on with the Giants, as well as the other things going around in sports and other things. If there's something on your mind, I already see you guys lining up. I knew this was going to be the case. I love the fact that you guys are going to start calling up. We're going to talk some hoops today. Lawrence and Jose are already lined up to talk some sports with Mario and myself, and we're looking forward to it. Nick is here. He's going to be at the game tonight as well, so you two of the three people on this show will be front and center for Rockets basketball tonight. That's fantastic. So you'll have some insight on that as well, Nicholas, as we get ready for a late night for you tonight, an 8:30 tip.
And I don't expect it to be a blowout by the Rockets. I actually expect it to be a relatively competitive and close game. So I think hopefully it'll be more exciting than the first one. It was fun to see Capella do what he did.
If you're a Minnesota fan, it was extremely exciting.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Capella made it kind of exciting in the first half. Hopefully it's an exciting game the entire game. So,
well, we'll see what goes on, because I want Mario's insight. We've got a lot to kick around on that, because I've got some things that I want to throw at his way, things that I can see happening in game two, some game planning and scheming, which he's been a part of as he's been an assistant coach in this league for a long time as well as a player. So we're going to get to a lot of stuff. We're going to get to a lot of calls. And if you guys want to join us, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call that number or text that number, and we'll get your questions and comments in. And you can always reach me via Twitter at PacManJoel and at MarioLE1. However, I don't know, Mario, if you're getting tweets during the show or not. So hit me up at PacManJoel. I'll get them through to Mario as well, and we'll continue to roll on. It's also at the producer Nick, my bad, Nick, as we will both be able to get tweets to Rio throughout the show. But it should be a good and fun experience as we take you through NBA hoops and more on The Usual Suspects. We're here till 4, then it's the Blitz till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out of town doing the world tour of comedy, so Mario Ellie joining us today. Mucci Norris will join us tomorrow, and Friday and Monday will work out as well, as Barry's out till Tuesday. So it should be a lot of basketball and a lot of fun as Mooch. We catch up with some good friends of mine throughout the years in the NBA. Barry doesn't like it when we talk family, but we are family, and that's part of the connection that we've had over the years working together in the NBA. So without further ado, Mario, they're coming in all over the place. People asking questions. By the way, again, if you sappy people, and Nick and I have talked about this via email, but if you sappy people pick Barry as the winner today just because he got his list in with like, what Nick, 4:04 in the afternoon?
Yeah, he hung tight after the show, so there was no way we were going to get our list in before
right.
his.
So we were going to get screwed because once he has it on his list, we don't get it. And then on top of that, he took every top grossing film, like Top Gun, and took two songs off of that. Then he took Ferris Bueller's Day Off and took two songs off of, you know?
That's the only one that I really am upset about. I really wanted the Ferris Bueller song. I should have just sent an email.
Yeah, that one. So he took all the popular songs, but if you want just quality music, you can take mine. And if you want By the Seat of Your Pants, you can consider Nick. We'll consider going there. How about that?
Man.
Oh, Tough shots crowd. Are always fired on this program.
No man. Question. This is different than the two-man game. There's not a lot of teamwork on this show. There's a lot of shots fired.
No doubt.
So a lot of things are coming in, Mario. Let's first of all just get you and I to break it down, too. But at the same time, get the calls in as well. But with the Rockets tonight, you and I talked a little bit last week. But after game one, your takeaways on what was, as Nick said, it was an exciting game simply because the Rockets made it exciting because they couldn't make shots. But what are your takeaways from game one as we look into game two tonight?
I'm just looking for guys to play better. I'm looking for guys to step up and play better. I'm thinking James is going to come out and play well. I'm sure Minnesota's going to maybe try to hopefully make some adjustments on him.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I expect Thibodeau, because of how bad Chris Paul was, I expect Thibodeau to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Harden and say, okay, now not only is it the pressure on the role players, but I'm going to put more pressure that Chris Paul's going to have to do something because we're going to just absolutely smother James Harden.
Yeah, they need no more scoring balance. That's why they've been the best team all year. You always have a guy coming in, the third guy getting 20. It can be Gordon. It could be Capella. And, Paul at that time was – we're scoring 18 to 20 points. But when you go to the playoffs, you go from 14 for Paul and 7 for Gordon. I don't think in the long run that's going to get it done, especially when you play better teams.
Yeah, definitely. I look at that, and you and I have said throughout everything that we've done on sportsmap.com video-wise and the shows and everything that we've talked about, look, as the Rockets go deeper into the playoffs, this isn't going to be about what James Harden and Chris Paul can do, and even Capella to some degree. It's going to be the shots that have to be made because of the double teams and the defense by Luke Mbamute when he comes back, by P.J. Tucker, by Trevor Ariza, by Eric Gordon. You mentioned him the other day on our show on the network, and it's so true. Everybody is looking at role players thinking it's other guys that Eric Gordon's such a main piece. Eric Gordon was one of his first six, couldn't make a buy one from three, and if the Rockets are going to do anything with a deep run, he's got to do more.
Yeah, we need more bench production, whether it's him, Gerald, Joe, Nene. They're going to have to get good production because a lot of these teams are getting good production off their bench, so they got to be, these guys got to be ready to come off the bench, have a spark, or one guy gets hot. Hopefully Gerald can come out tonight and make some shots early. That'll get the crowd. You know how Gerald is. He plays with some great emotion and great energy out there, especially when he has things going. So we already know what James is going to do. He's going to play at a high level, but we already talked about it. They need the troops to step up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, with that, we've got a lot of people that are waiting to get in here. And thankfully, my man Jose had to hang up, but he said he got us via text message. Said, Mario, Jose, longtime fan of the Junkyard Dog. I watched P.J. Tucker, and I see parallels with you. I'd say you were more athletic, but
Thank you.
The mentality, the body type, the toughness, he reminds me of you. Do you agree?
I sure do. But you said one thing, Joe, the athleticism, dog.
I did not say that, by the way. Jose said that. Let's make that perfectly clear.
Jose, my man, you know, P.J. Tucker, I love his mentality. That's how you got to step on the court, compete every possession. Offensive rebounds, you know, hitting big threes from the corner, guarding different positions. You love a guy like that. It don't matter what the situation is. You don't need the ball. You don't need plays called for him. He's going to do whatever it takes for the team to win, and that's what's about. And I'm glad he's getting the recognition for the play, for the type of player he is.
Now, we talk more basketball than any show in this market. That's obvious, especially even every show on this station. And then when we get guests like Kevin McHale, Mario Ellie, and all the people that we get at, it's not even disputed. So with that, we're going to continue with that theme, but we also want to make sure that we take the calls with a moderate wait time because we have so many calls lined up, Nick, that we need to make sure that we pace ourselves. Lawrence wants to get in here and talk NBA with Mario. Lawrence, what's up?
Yes, last night I was watching the Pelican game. And, you know, I hear a lot of bad stuff about Rondo, but if you look at how the team reacts to him after the game, I just can't see what the problem is and how much of a difference does he make on the Pelican team. I hang up and listen.
Well, you have, like, another coach on the floor. Like you heard him saying, he's up till 3, 4 in the morning watching tape of the other team. Rondo's just he's a competitor. He's extremely smart. And that's why he's always bumping head with coaches because he's just as smart as a coach on the floor. He's always prepared. He doesn't back away from any challenge. He's a champion. He won a championship on a very good team, leading, you know, three pretty tough personalities in Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett, trying to keep all those guys happy. And
I know one he didn't keep happy.
Yeah, we know that now. But at the time when they were playing, you know, he kept that, you know, he was, that's a tough group to lead, and he did that. And now he looks like he's having a lot of fun leaving this young group, especially with Boogie Cousins down. People are forgetting this guy is a double-double, all-star center, I think one of the best centers in the league, and the things the Pelicans are doing without him. And the way Rondo, man, he's really stepping up. What, he's averaging 14 assists first two games?
Yeah, I mean, and here's a couple things with Rondo. I think as good as he has been over his career, he learned some lessons with Chicago, with some of the teams that he was with in terms of coaches still aren't going to take the BS. They're not going to deal with a veteran player who they feel like they have to deal with less when they have to pay more attention to him. And maybe he learned a lesson there, and he's translated that into a situation where you have a good coach that's more of a player's coach that allows you some input. He decided to go back to the books, study and break down some film, and he's brought a lot to the table that's made a difference for this team.
Yeah, and that's what leaders do. You know, they prepare. You see them putting the young players in their place and getting the ball, making the right decisions, you know, not panicking with the shot clock going down. Just a brilliant point guard performance out there. And getting the ball to Jrue Holiday, that was good. He was hot. He made the plays down the stretch. It was a three-point game. I showed him just a pure three-pointer. I mean, that's another guy you got to talk about.
Oh, man. I was going to say, that's the key to the series.
You know, everybody's talking about Lillard and McCollum, rightfully so. But it's 0-0 in the playoffs. It's a different season. And right now, Rondo and Jrue Holiday are clearly outplaying those guys on both ends of the floor.
And that's embarrassing for them because of the fact that everybody has said, next to, you know, Paul and Harden and Curry and Thompson, that these guys are right up there in that upper echelon. They did the whole ESPN interview with the two of them, and they were talking about the beef with the Rockets and all the things that they were going to not let happen again and what they're going to do. What they're doing right now is getting their ass handed to them. And it's embarrassing if you're a Blazers fan because you were the three seed, and everybody, even around here on a lot of the shows, are saying, oh, Portland's the team you got to worry about in the West. Well, not so fast. I was never complete buy-in on Portland because of the fact that I don't think they utilize their front court enough because they have talent there too, but they're too finessey. They don't really want to get down and play physical basketball. And New Orleans has proved that they can be physical and still play at one of the fastest paces in the league, and that's because their big man is so versatile in Anthony Davis that he does so much, and then when your backcourt steps up, they're out playing Portland all over the floor.
Yeah, I mean, That team is just clicking. Maybe divine intervention. I know the owner died earlier, Tom Benson,
right,
guy that owns the Saints and the Pelicans. And maybe that spirit, I mean, is lifting these guys. And I was just shocked watching the game. I stayed up. It was a great game and great performance by them. And you said it, Joe. Give Alvin Gentry a lot of credit. He allows guys input. You're right. He's a player's coach.
Yep.
He doesn't really get rattled on the sideline. And he allows Rondo and Anthony Davis input on the squad. And you see the togetherness. You mentioned, I love the emotion after a win like that. Hugging, looking at each other, just focused and locked in. That's what playoff basketball, especially winning on the road like that. And, you know, this is Anthony Davis' only second win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is big, man. Those guys, man, you got to watch out for these guys, man. They're a scary team with the defense they're playing right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it, at least in the first round. I think it's going to be a different story when they got to guard up on everybody in Golden State. But at the same time, when you look at what they've been able to do when they were heavily underdogs in this series, and now they take the first two on Portland's court and they go back home, man, I'm telling you right now, I mean, the recipe for success is there for them, obviously. But Portland, this would be a huge disappointment for a team that has overcome so much to be at such a high level all year long.
Yeah, and got to give Ian Clark, Miricic, Etan Moore. I mean, these are guys that are not talked about, but are just stepping up for the Pelican also. And you're right, Joe. Heartless is back. I think that's a big boost. Mo Heartless is back. That's a big boost. They need versatility to keep up with, like you said, the Pelicans' pace and quickness out there, man. Jrue Holiday coming down the lane, left hand. Rondo just darting down the court. Big Davis. I mean, they got some athletes on that Pelican ball club. And, boy, it don't look good for the Blazers. Game three is a very pivotal game. I'm not counting them out. You know, Pelicans came in and got 0-2. But the Blazers, if they grab game three, they got to put a little heat on that young Pelican team for game four.
There you go. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We're just a half hour into the big show. It's Nick, Mario, and Joel all the way till 4. Barry's on a tour with the comedy routine, so he'll be back Tuesday. But we'll continue to roll on. If you got NBA or otherwise that you want to get off your chest and kick it around here on the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. And it's at MarioElli1 to reach out to him. Otherwise, it's at the producer Nick and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Joel, Mario, Ellie, and Nick. As Barry is on tour with doing some comedy, he'll be back next Tuesday. So we'll continue to kick around some things. You can reach us by the phone number, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Or hit me up on Twitter, at PacManJoel with a K, and I'll get the questions out there as you guys have been good already throwing some stuff our way. Lots of stuff to get to, including something that you and I have addressed on the network side that we should probably bring up here now, and we can get the dialogue going there as well. Nick, you were a part of this whole thing, but we thought with as good of a season as the Rockets had, and when they set the regular season record for victories and did all the things that they were doing, that it would be interesting to compare the 94 team, which was until this year's team, the best regular season team, the team that got off to, what'd you win, like 15 in a row, and then you lost one in the Garden, or...
We lost in Atlanta. We won our 15th at the Garden. Dream had 37.
Yeah.
Dream had a big night. Then we had a back-to-back in Atlanta, and they got us in Atlanta.
Okay. But, yeah, and that was the hot start. But the big thing was the 94 team finished it with a championship, and we said that that's still TBD here. But everybody's been asking the question, and you and I kind of broke it down one day in terms of matchup by matchup. Who would prevail in a battle of 94's Rockets team versus this year's team? And obviously you have a skin in the game, but you had plenty of good insight into that as well.
Well, first of all, let me tell all the people out there, the rules were different. Our game was a lot more physical.
Yep.
And then the way they're playing now, rules are different with the zone and how you can guard and weak side help. But I feel with our front line, I mean, you got Lijuan, Otis Thorpe, and Robert Ory and Vernon Maxwell and Kenny Smith in the backcourt, and myself, Sam Cassell, Carl Herrera, Scott Brooks, I mean, coming off the bench. Ooh, that's a pretty style ball club. And I just felt the Rockets don't have no matchup for our front line, for our two bigs. And so, as dominant as Olajuwon was, man, you know, I don't think these guys can handle him.
I mean, Clint Capella is a good defender, but Clint Capella guarding Hakeem Olajuwon is a different story.
It's a different story. And, you know, Harden's an outstanding talent, no yep. question about it. He would get his 25, 27, but with Vernon, you know, Robert, myself, hawking him, he would have to work extremely hard for that.
Paul as well. I mean, you got Sam Cassell, too, which was a point physical.
I lead Kenny and Scott Brooks and Sam for Paul. So those three guys.
But I'm saying Sam was a guy well before Chris Paul that could invert the offense and go on the low block if he had to as well, because he had post moves that could get, because he's more physical, as you mentioned, it was a different time, but he's more physical and physically strong, it seems, than Chris Paul, and he could take Chris Paul and put him on the block.
Yeah, Sam was an outstanding talent. Mid-range game, pick-and-roll game, like you mentioned it, on the box. Just an outstanding pump fake, drawing fouls, knowing how to change pace out there off a pick-and-roll, go fast to slow, slow to fast. But our guard play, we had great guard play. You know, we played both ends. We can shoot. We can defend. We were tough. We competed. We were there for each other. When two guards weren't playing well, Rudy would go for who was hot out there. I sometimes finished the game. You know, Vernon would finish the game, you know, even though he was a starter. Yeah. Sam would sometime finish the game. So Rudy would go with guys who
we
were
always
hot,
said yeah. It didn't matter who started, it was who finished. And in most cases, Sam was finishing for Kenny. Like you said, you were on the floor a lot. And Vernon Maxwell, look, everybody calls him the Jordan stopper. It's similar to what you're talking about with Harden. You're not going to stop a player that's that gifted offensively,
no,
but if you can slow them down, it can be a big factor in deciding a game.
And I think the guys we had were very intelligent defenders, and I just get frustrated watching guys guarding Harden with their hands just sticking out. You know
what
he does.
For it.
Yeah, just put your hands up. If he makes tough shots. He's a great player, man. The shots this man makes sometimes, I'm like, how the hell he makes those shots? But that's what great players do. And sometimes you got to just suck it up sometimes, your hands back, and just contest his shot. He's too smart. You know, when you stick your hand out, he's just licking his chops because he's going to go right under you and shoot the three and go to the line and shoot three free throws. You got to be very intelligent how you guard that guy.
Yeah, no question about it, because when you look at it, the deciding factor to me is the fact that because it's a different, like you mentioned, it's a different way of playing the game now,
yeah.
And there's not the excess of big men that there were back then, as well as the physical play. And the fact of the matter is that if you look at the depth of the front court of the Rockets overall, they have three guys. And as we know, last year when Nene got hurt, it changes everything in terms of defense and how you can be vulnerable. You're already vulnerable even if you're healthy when you're playing the big Nigerian nightmare that is the Hakeem Olajuwon.
And we didn't even talk about Otis. You got to mention
yes.
Otis Thorpe.
No
out
question
there.
About
six,
it.
6'10", 270, rebounding with one hand. I mean, Rudy used to call my number 24. It was my layup or Otis layup. That dude used to set the best screens. And just him rolling to the basket, dunking. Otis had been big game for us throughout the season. I mean, him and Olajuwon were a hell of a tandem down there in that front line, just physical. And, you know, everybody knows about that championship game. We changed the rules of basketball. That series was so physical. It was like a 15-round boxing match, just two of the best defensive teams, us and the Knicks, and us battling. And Olajuwon battling Ewing, Charles Smith, Oakley, Mason. I mean, just battling those guys for seven games. That's a credit to that dude's greatness, man.
Yeah, no question about it. He still looks like he can play.
I know.
Mean, you guys both do look like you can get 10, 15 minutes in the league.
I can hit open shot, though. I can't guard, but I can hit open shot.
Okay.
If you need one.
I think that, you know, there are teams out there that might be calling you.
Oh, okay. The way they're paying, I'm ready
to get
back in the gym.
Open shot.
We're going to see what happens tonight. They're not a big three-point shooting team, but they were one possession away. You know, they were right there in the
game.
That's
the thing. And Teague took a lot of rushed threes when they were within a bucket or they had a late lead that was kind of crazy. But, you know, you look at everything that they had and you look at everything the way that they played. Minnesota, that was their game. That was the game to steal to where they could have stole home court for at least to get it back to Minneapolis. Not that, you know, we're going to go with anything crazy and say the Rockets were going to get upset in the series, but it would have made it a different tone for the series had they been able to get that game. I'm not sure you're going to see anything close to that tonight because they were making shots that they haven't made all year. When Karl Anthony Towns is your best percentage three-point shooter, you're not a good shooting team.
Yeah, they're not, and I just hate seeing them out at the three-point line. And I'm with Nick. I'm gonna expect a better game tonight. But the Wolves are talented, man. They got a good coach. They got a great leader in Jimmy Butler. I'm going to expect a more aggressive Karl Anthony Towns tonight. They go get him the ball on the box. That's the one thing they can do. They control pace. They can control pace with their post-up game, getting them guys in foul trouble, having the Rockets take it out on the full court where they can set their defense. That's the key. And maybe late in the fourth quarter, you go in the timeout. Let's double James these next three or four times. I'm looking forward to Tibbs' game plan. I'm going to watch the game really close tonight to see his defensive adjustment on James.
Well, your seats are going to suck, so it's going to be hard to watch I'm a coach, bro.
I got to see it up close,
you're
baby.
You're spoiled rotten to sit there as a coach and then sit there as a bystander.
Hey, it's all good, man.
So we'll get to that. Mac Daddy has a question for you. We'll tease it here, and you can answer it on the other side. But for the Rockets to make it through to the Western Conference Finals, how important is Clint Capella going to be to get more points in the paint and do more things effectively? Don't answer that. We're going to answer it after the break. Much more coming. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Any sappy Peter Cetera song in a Way Back Wednesday should be punished. Punished, I say. But again, he took the front runner. The Karate Kid was big back then. Everybody knows this was the number one tune of that movie.
Yeah, when the song initially started, I didn't know.
Mario, I don't think we can say that on air. So, Mario's finding out in a hurry that our listeners are loyal and they can be critical. As Brandon tweeted in, can Mario turn his phone on silent? We know he's the popular guy.
He's blowing me up, man. I'm trying to ask you questions, baby.
And then he said, is he calling?
I'm multitasking.
And then he wants to know if you're calling me Joe or Joel.
Joel.
Yes, but you just say it quickly.
Joel.
So now that everybody's hammering you on your phone, Mario, as I know to call you correctly. No, what did you say to me in the break, though? You're going to get Stormy Daniels' lawyer in here to represent you because people are being hypercritical.
I know, man. I'm like, I have to get my man.
You guys are tight?
I like Stormy's New York connection.
He's not exactly shying away from media attention either.
Not at all.
Not that he's a media whore.
Oh, he loves it. Love him.
Don't want to use whore in that conversation.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, the weather report calls for Stormy conditions. So overall, a lot of people loving the basketball talk. We were talking about this before the break. Look, Clint Capella had a big first half, but let's not forget he disappeared in the second half. And Karl Anthony Towns was outplayed regardless, which is embarrassing. And Tibbs called him out on it. But tonight I expect a different Karl Anthony Towns. But do you really think that they need Capella to be big for this team to go far? It seems like we were talking about, it's not a big man's game anymore. If he just does the little things, he's doing enough for this team to be successful.
Yes, because you got two guys who put so much pressure on the defense in Harden and Paul. I mean, James off the pick and roll, man. He's outstanding. He makes the right plays every time. If you go under, he shoots the three. If you go over, he puts you behind him, penetrates. If the big shows, he throws a lob. If bigs don't show, he goes to the basket. So a lot of time the bigs are showing late, and James is making a great read, and Clint is right under the baskets. Points in the paint are huge, especially in the playoff series. So high percentage shots, and that's the Rockets' motto, threes and dunks and layups, you know, and go to the free throw line. So that's how they operate, and Clint is a big part of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, tonight, the other thing is, as you and I have said overall, I've been preaching this for months before we even knew it was going to be the playoff matchup for the Rockets. The bottom line is Tom Thibodeau is a control freak. And if Tom Thibodeau, who has to call a play every single time down for this team, would just relax a little bit and let this team go, he has athletes that are proven scorers that can do things in this league. You mentioned Butler, guys that we haven't talked about that people know in this town. Jamal Crawford is an overall Rockets killer, always been a sixth man of the year candidate, and he can fill it up in bunches in a short period of time. The guy that I really think it hurts more than anybody else is Wiggins, because Wiggins is a guy that is so freakishly athletic as well as talented. If he wasn't so structured, he'd probably be even more successful for that team.
Yeah, I wish he would take like the Spurs philosophy. I love their philosophy. Score earlier, score late. Let's get out and go and explore what's going on in transition. Maybe times to run the first post. You get Wiggins, like you mentioned, Joe, great athlete. Get him in the wing. Let him run, break teams down. You know, even though he's struggling a little bit from the free throw line this year, this guy can get to the cup. Butler also, early post, early threes for Butler. Get him, you know, in transition. Get these guys some easy buckets. It seemed like the Timberwolves were struggling to score at times against the Rockets. So get rebounds, get stops, turn up your defense, try to get some turnovers. They need easy baskets to get this young team some confidence early in the game.
No doubt about it. All right, Eric, you've been holding a while. We appreciate it. You want to talk about the never-ending question for guys that played on the 94-95 championship teams in Houston.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I think the Rockets would have beaten Jordan twice in the finals if Jordan would never retire. What do y'all think?
You know what we always think, all of us on our team, we always think we could have beat him. Granted, Jordan is a great player. We had one in our own, in Elijah Wan, and I just felt our bigs and the guys we can match up with him. You know, we know Jordan's goal average is 30. We felt we maybe could neutralize the rest of the guys and Dream with his defense protecting the paint. I just felt we had an edge up front and having multiple guys to guard the Black Cat.
And here's what I've said, too. And again, Black Cat referring to Jordan, one of his many nicknames.
Yeah.
And we can get into this, too. There's no doubt in my mind, no matter how much you bring LeBron James to the table, Jordan was the greatest of all time that we've seen. The thing is that the Rockets had more players that could slow down. And again, just like I went back to this Harden comparison in the 94 team versus this year's team, you're not going to stop and shut down a guy as good as James Harden or Michael Jordan, but you can slow him down. When you look at the matchups, Bill Cartwright or Luke Longley or whoever you want to throw in, Bill Wennington, they're not going to even sniff slowing down Elijah Wan. Whereas Robert Horry could slow down Scottie Pippen. Whereas Vernon Maxwell, Mario Elie, Sam Cassell defensively could slow down Michael Jordan. Everybody knew that Michael had fits with Vernon on the floor. And the last thing that needs to be mentioned is Michael played in one of those 2 years. It just didn't come out with, it didn't work out for him wearing 45. So let's just reevaluate the entire situation. The story goes that I've had Rudy tell a million times. We were on the road in Phoenix. Charles had a party at his house. It was the Rockets coaching staff, and Jordan showed up. And Jordan was asked flat out by Charles and the people that were in the room, and he told Rudy flat out, we had no answer for 34. We had no answer that could slow that big man down, and that would have been our downfall. So I've heard it a million different ways from a million different people. The fact of the matter is, it didn't happen. What did happen was, reality is, two championships in Houston, turn the page.
And that's where I'm at. I'm like, what are we supposed to do? John, no, don't go to baseball. He decided to go to baseball. So is it our fault this season? I keep telling people the NBA season goes on. So we happen to be the team to win. And our second year, give us credit. We're a sixth seed, the lowest seed ever to win a championship.
Yep.
You know, and we give us some credit for what we did down here. You know, we earned it. We went through some tough teams. We went through some top 50 greatest players of all time, some Hall of Famers. Barkley, Malone, Stockton, Peyton. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kevin Johnson. I mean, Dan Marley. I mean, Danny Ainge. I mean, the list goes on and on.
No question about it. And the thing is, you know, you tip your cap to the other team. But again, with the team, having been there for every step of the ride in 95 and to know that it was just such a tight-knit bunch that – coming from the sixth seed was unheard of. And it still is, as you mentioned. It's a record that holds today in terms of the lowest seed to ever win it. But when you look at what you overcame through each round of the playoffs and each series, it wasn't just the players, like the guys you're firing off. It was the situations within the series. Utah, you had to go win game five on the road in Utah, Stockton, Malone, raucous crowd. You know those basket standards, sat on the same bleachers as the crowd. The basket was shaking. Dream hit his...
hole in the clog. They do everything up there in Salt
Lake. Dream
hit
his dream shake. It hit the corner of the backboard, and the basket was moving so bad that it still spun its way into the basket. They won game five on the road in Utah. They came back from the all the Barkley crap when they were down. You guys 3-1. Were down in the Phoenix series, down 3-1, losing those games early on your home court. The butt-kicking business, and supposedly business was good. It went bankrupt by the time we hit game seven.
I had to give him that.
That little kiss of death from Mario, that little shot that maybe was heard around the world, definitely was heard around Phoenix and will never be forgotten. And then what you did, the MVP trophy to David Robinson. Well, we'll show you who the real MVP is in the Western Conference Finals. And then we'll go to the finals, and then we'll sweep the Orlando Magic with Shaq and Penny and everybody thinking that this was the team that was going to be dealt with for years. Well, it was dealt with in quick work by the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that was a great run. That was a great time. Just check out that Clutch City documentary if you can. I mean, that's just how it was, the type of players we were, situations with guys getting traded. We went through a lot with both teams that year. So, but we got it done, like you mentioned, Joe.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's something that you can't take away.
History
is what it is, and whether it repeats itself, which it did in this case when you won two. Yeah. But overall, you can't change that. So, you know what? Don't take up baseball next time, and maybe it's a different story, but that's not the way it happened. All right, we got one in the books, 2 hours to go with the big show. Don't go away, because we're going to continue to wrap basketball and other things. Mario Ellie with us in studio all show till 4. It's Nick and I. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.